We're Minnesotan. Let's all discuss the weather. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we have three-peat guest Melissa Kircher. We talk about GMOs, food production, and what it's like to work for General Mills.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I can't feel my toes.
It's very cold in Minnesota right now. And since it's so cold, we have invited back our warm and lovely three-peat guest, Melissa Kircher.
Yes!
Yeah.
That was a nice segue.
Thank you. Very well done. That's right. Improv, motherfuckers. and we have brought Melissa here because, can we say where you work?
Is that Melissa? Yeah, that's fine.
For General Mills.
Dun, and dun, dun.
I know. So we have her here to talk about GMOs. Oh, scary GMOs.
Big farming.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Big farm. Yes.
Big
and
farm.
The truth behind the science of food production, especially General Mills is a huge company. They're locally based, right?
Yes, they are.
And so hometown heroes. So what do you do at General Mills, Melissa?
I'm kind of part computer nerd and part information nexus.
Cool.
So I write these like 60-page specification documents. So for every product that General Mills makes, we have a specification document that gives the recipe, all the ingredients that go into the thing, how you put them together, what cross-contact allergens are at the plant, what the packaging materials are, how you build the pallet.
Make sure the label says caution.
Yeah.
Made in a processing factory that does peanuts or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Shelf life and, you know, handling, you know, if it goes to another facility to get back, all that stuff.
That's crazy.
Just as giant
kind of a QA
document. Yeah.
But also, I mean, do you actually have to proofread, as it were, the packaging for each thing, or is that
there's actually a separate job that does that. So basically what I do feeds the information that the labelers get.
Okay.
And then they actually put the little white box on all the packages and work with marketing to get all the artwork on there.
Yeah.
But our whole group, we have people who do packaging specifications, we have people who do the labels, we have people who take care of all the ingredients, you know, where the ingredients come from, and you know, where they're going, and what plants use them, and what they're approved for. And I'm kind of in the job that ties all of the information together. So I work with R&D, the people who are actually creating the formulas for the food, and I'm working with packaging R&D, the people who are designing the packages and making sure they don't crush when they're being shipped around, and all this stuff kind of funnels through my group.
So you're really the one that makes up all the lies on the label that hides GMOs from the public.
Oh, Jesus.
So how does the concept of GMOs affect your job? I mean, how does this hysteria, maybe we'll call it, let's just call it hysteria because that's what it is.
What the hell?
Why are only women being affected by it?
Yes. Yeah. My uterus, whenever I eat GMOs, my uterus grows 10 times the size.
Oh, jeez.
Terrifying.
Well, I mean, our great big real immediate struggle right now is that, you know, of course the larger companies would prefer not to label for GMOs because that's a pain in the ass.
Well, yeah. And you can get sued if you're wrong.
Yeah, you can get sued if you're wrong. GMO tracking is difficult, and it's actually really hard to source GMO product because, you know, the vast majority of the food that we produce in this country is genetically modified.
Right.
So
the question is really, what do you mean by genetically modified?
Yeah.
Because if you include bananas, they've been genetically modified over thousands of years.
Yeah, we couldn't eat bananas
Well, almost every single piece of food that we eat has been
like
bred
meat?
Somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. But as opposed to, you know, and GMO is a real thing in one sense, in that there are companies out there that are looking to genetically modify food to breed for certain things.
Yeah.
Which, and I don't want to argue that that's good or bad at the moment, but I mean, I think when people are talking about labeling, that's really what they're talking about, stuff that we're genetically modifying now,
like genetic engineering, not
stuff that's been carefully been selectively bred,
because somehow, you know, just mashing two breeds together just to see what comes out is somehow safer than just selecting for one gene,
right?
Which is what genetic modification is.
Well, and I feel that a lot of people who are anti-GMO, first of all, I feel that most of them are very uninformed about what that actually means, because what they're reading are they're reading confirmation bias sites. But also, I think that most people, what they the actual umbrage they're taking is with a company called Monsanto, and with the things they've heard about that, as opposed to the actual concept of genetically modifying food.
I think a lot of the ill will is just specifically towards Monsanto, who has had some real skeezy lawsuits.
You can agree that Monsanto is a skeezy company.
Without
throwing out GMO.
Right.
But I think
the big issue is, I mean, science education in this country is pretty poor. And people, I mean, even when I post on my Facebook page, okay, guys, ask me anything about the food industry, I get tons and tons and tons of questions from people I know, and I know very intelligent people, you know, just by and large. That's my friend group on Facebook.
I think that's all of us. We're nerds mostly. And we all mostly know very smart people,
Unless you're working in biology or working in the food industry, you probably still don't know what the fuck is going on with GMOs.
Right.
You might have a better understanding than the average consumer. I mean, you know, mostly the people I hang around with have a basic understanding of genetics, and, you know, that is not true of most people in this country, I'm sure. There is just so much noise out there that nobody knows what to think unless you intimately know the industry.
Well, and there's a lot of fear-mongering.
Absolutely.
You were going to say something about Monsanto.
There was one of the engineers at Monsanto did an AMA on Reddit, which was just fascinating, because it was like, I'm not going to talk about anything about the lawsuits or the ethical practices. I will answer any question about the science of what we do, how we accomplish what we do, and you know, if you have any, it's just, I'm a scientist, I'm not a lawyer, but I'll answer whatever I can. And he was very forthcoming, like, he gave out quite a bit of information, and it was fun to see people in the thread being like, going from like, you're the devil, to like, this seems fairly reasonable. I guess my problems are elsewhere.
That seems to be one of the biggest problems with GMO, is that people don't understand it. I mean, and I think there are things that, you know, there are GMO crops that have been bad.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, there was a GMO tomato that people bitched about for a long time because it was, you know, it was flavorless. They bred it to be a bigger tomato that would withstand shipping better, which are good things.
Yeah.
But what they bred was a really awful tomato.
It still had nutrition, just not flavor.
Actually, my understanding is it didn't have nutrition.
Okay.
Well, tomatoes are kind of
think, you know, one of the things to think about with something like that, you know, again, not talking about whether or not Monsanto is skeezy or not. And I think it was a Monsanto product, but
they're skeezy.
Really,
there's really no. Yeah. I have no problem saying. I feel they're very skeezy.
It doesn't really matter.
Most big corporations are.
But you know, let's just lay it out here. I'm pretty sure there is no such thing as an evil corporation or an angel corporation, because corporations are not people.
Right. Exactly.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But the thing that you have to think about when you're talking about GMO, evil, blah, 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 you know, what were they trying to do? They were trying to breed for these specific traits that are good traits to have.
Mm-hmm.
And what they didn't think about was, okay, well, we've achieved those traits. How does it taste?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't one of their criteria. Their criteria wasn't make a tomato that has these traits and also tastes good. They assumed that anything else that they changed, it was still going to taste like a tomato.
Yeah.
That, to me, falls under failure of imagination, not a failure of not GMO being inherently bad
or unethical.
Do you guys? But you know, also there was if you look up a case for Starling corn, which was one of the very early GMO crops, there were some legitimate problems with that thing.
It was not.
What happened was it wasn't vetted very well. It couldn't be. It was actually somewhat poisonous to humans.
Yeah.
You could. It was bred to be a crop for cattle.
Yeah.
But somehow, and they were sued, and it seems like it was intentionally. They were like, oh, what the hell? Let's just give it to people too. You know, even though the FDA had said no, this is not approved for use with people, but they gave farmers those seeds, and those farmers were producing corn for human consumption. So, a lot of people got sick.
And also, if I remember right, in that case, the genes were hopping from field to field. You know,
I've heard about that too.
Across Germany,
I've also heard that there are some. Again, I hate to be all like hearsay on our sciencey kind of thing, but like one of the things I know people complain about that I've seen is that some of the crop seeds that Monsanto produces are they do not self pollinate.
They're
Terminator seeds. Yeah. So you just have to keep buying them, so you can't.
Right. If you are a farmer that plants these Terminator seeds, and that part of the seed doesn't function, and somehow a neighbor's field grows these modified plants, then this neighbor who never had a deal or a business arrangement with Monsanto can end up ending them owing the money because they're growing something that's, you know, trademarked.
It's the patent, it's the patent law that really is the
that goes way into the skeezy area of Monsanto.
I was actually doing some reading before we did this. Apparently a lot of that doesn't really happen.
You know, interesting.
The cross germination stuff that
it's
people
kind of
talk
an urban
about,
legend.
It's kind of an urban
legend.
The fact that their seeds are, you know, basically single use, they don't germinate. Well, that's pretty much all seeds that we're using these days. I mean, apples.
Yeah,
every single apple you eat is a genetically modified apple.
That's true.
You know, Honeycrisp is something that was selected.
Even the organic ones, because that's the thing. Well, organic doesn't mean non-GMO.
So many of those are just outright clones, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're literally, they don't germinate. You just take branches and stick them onto other trees, and that's how you get more apples.
There are heirloom
tomatoes.
Produce. Yeah. Apples. But even
tomatoes
those,
especially, is a big.
Even those got to a point through human, you know, tinkering to get them to be something that we could, you know, eat and enjoy regularly. But these are plants that aren't grown on a huge scale because they're not big, or they don't look right, or they have a bad shape. All these reasons that produce gets thrown out. That's such a a privileged set of problems to get rid of produce by, but
do you guys think that the anti-GMO thoughts, which also, you know, anti-organic or anti-non-organic kind of thing, is based in this concept that things should be natural, and is that tied to religion in that way that, like, people who are anti-stem cell research, people who are anti-GMO, people who think that because something isn't a natural way or it's science playing God, I mean, are these all intertwined in a way with spirituality and religion?
I think it varies from individual to individual, but I think there's a large, you know, portion of people, what, you know, not necessarily maybe straight up religion, but, you know, spirituality,
back to
the earth, you know, the earth makes it better than we do.
I don't know any one dogma is worse than another as far as, like, the GMO threat, but certainly it's tied to, like, this naturalist, which where you also find, you know, homeopathy and...
Right.
Well, you also, I mean, if you go straight into religion, there's also like halal and kosher and all those things.
And those are tied into this whole clean eating movement, which is a very strong proponent of anti-GMO stuff. Mm. And when Nick and I went paleo about 2.25 years ago, one of the things that was so frustrating for me, and I would say what we eat these days is just our own deal. Like, there's no one word that covers it. We went strict for a while and kind of added things in, but I had a really hard time time with the types of people that were posting the recipes that we were eating, because it was like, this is clean eating, so eat organic and eat non-GMO this, and like it's such a weird thing, because there's this one camp that says, oh, this is organic non-GMO corn and therefore it's healthy for you, and then there's another camp that says corn is literally the worst thing you can eat in terms of like phytic acid and this and that and insulin response. And it's like, and then there's someone else that's like, I'm so hungry, for God's sake, give us corn that I will eat literally anything you give us. And it's this weird triangulation of privilege and what works for your body and your own personal ethos.
Like,
and
Melissa said, a lack of science education and understanding is a huge part of it.
Well, yeah. And I'd like to pause a moment and clarify what we mean by organic, because mean, people have no clue what's going on with organic. Organic does feed into the GMO thing, because non-GMO is part of the organic definitions in this country.
Really?
Okay. So what organic means when it gets...
This is like a legal definition.
This is the legal definition.
FDA.
This is the FDA-approved definition of organic. What organic is, when you see that claim made on a food package, when you see that seal on a food package...
In America.
It is non-GMO. It is produced with only a certain number of pesticides. It does not mean no pesticides. There are certain approved pesticides, and I'll get that into that in a moment. There's a certain way you have to rotate your crops. The farmers have to work like 3 years straight in order to get approved to be GMO, you know, and they have to, you know...
You mean organic, GMO.
Not GMO, I mean organic. To be approved to be organic farmers, they have to, you know, apply the organic principles before they can actually call their raw ingredients organic.
Sure.
Things like that. So it is a set of rules that the farmers have to apply to their crops.
Quick question. Is it something that farmers have to... You may not know. Do they have to pay to be licensed as organic? Interesting.
There's like a licensing fee. I mean, it's like going to the DMV.
Sure, but I mean, just...
Even if there weren't a licensing fee, if they have to invest in their farm to operate and run like an organic farm for 3 years as they go through the application process, that in itself is a huge investment.
Oh, it's enormous. And also there are like three different, I don't think the fees actually go directly to the FDA. There are like three different entities that will do the certification and the fees go to them for like inspections. But, specifically with the pesticides, what I find fascinating about organic is that a lot of the pesticides, there's a certain family of pesticides, the ones that are used on the big crops, that are banned entirely in GMO, which means what's left...
It's also incestuous.
It really is. It totally is. But on organic crops, the pesticides that are left are actually worse for the environment.
Really?
So here's the thing.
From
runoff, they stick around longer. Okay. They're really not super great. Also, you have to use more of them on organic crops because...
They aren't as effective.
With genetically modified crops, one of the big one of the big genes that is built into a lot of those crops, it basically dovetails with the pesticide that is being put on it, which means you use less pesticide to keep that crop safe.
So they've tinkered with the genes to make it so that it's more resistant to pests and therefore
or
requires
disease.
Less
pesticides. So for people who are concerned about pesticides on their food, which is frankly, you're talking about health risk with foods, it feels like the most reasonable concern that you
can
have.
Wash your produce
If you're eating broccoli, the amount of surface area that can have pesticide on it is pretty insane.
Yeah.
People that are concerned about that, when they're concerned about it in relation to GMO foods, it actually may be that those foods are safer.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Also, foods that are being produced by smaller companies, foods that are organic, organic dairy, it doesn't necessarily mean that the animals are treated better. It does not necessarily mean it's safer for you to eat. I have seen so many smaller companies that, because they're a small company, they do not have the resources to track where salmonella infection is coming from.
Oh.
You know, even though it's more, you know, quote, natural or it's organic,
it doesn't
necessarily mean it's safer for you.
Right.
It also is more natural, the Black Plague. Like, that's a totally
childbirth,
natural.
Childbirth, not drugs.
Right. Yeah.
An aspect about.
I mean, fuck that, right?
Yeah. One of the aspects about the giant companies is that they're incredibly risk averse, you know, which means they have put a lot of resources into being able to track exactly what ingredients are going where, what batch of food it's going where. So if some consumer has a problem with a batch of food that they bought in the middle of Utah, we can track exactly what to which plant, when it was produced, what ingredients we were using, what vendor they came from, and you can, you know, follow the trail of breadcrumbs in like 5 minutes.
And you can recall anything specific or change whatever caused the issue very
easily. But you could do a specific recall as opposed to sometimes with those organic foods, what I'll see is general recall, all Amy's products.
Yeah.
Like
if
you have Amy's products in your fridge, throw them away
Did you buy spinach at a Whole Foods?
E. coli.
Sorry.
This batch that was shipped to this this set of supermarkets.
Yeah. If you've got a number, the number that starts with these numbers, like then you should throw those away.
So,
as with anything, I think what we find is that there's certainly issues with companies that produce GMOs, but the problem becomes when people basically look at GMO and go, all right. Well, the problem is GMOs instead of the problem is a bunch of assholes at some company being assholes.
Mm-hmm.
The basic, you know, we talked a little bit before we started that a lot of this objection to GMO foods and everything like that is amazing first world privilege.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, you know, some of what they do with genetically modified food is they're coming up with ways to grow crops.
Or like golden rice and yellow rice.
In the desert.
Yeah.
Where you know in Africa, in Saharan Africa, where you've got populations that are starving because they can't produce food, and then a crop is designed. I mean, literally designed to be able to grow in that kind of environment, and what you're doing is saving hundreds of thousands of lives, and it's really easy when you're in comfortable white America.
When hungry means I need a snack.
To go, well, I want to eat healthy apples as opposed to unhealthy apples, whatever that means to you.
Yep.
As opposed to in Africa where they just want a fucking apple.
Anything.
And,
and
consider this. I mean, to your point, it is tremendously damaging to the environment to, you know, terraform and, you know, put a crop of wheat somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if your concern is treating the earth better, organic farms do not produce as much volume of food as, you know, our giant genetically modified crops.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense to have an acre of land that produces a huge amount of food rather than having 4-10 acres of land that produce the same volume. So there's much less impact, you know, being able to get these crops to produce as much as possible.
It's not just the volume, because as you mentioned before, it's also the amount of pesticides being used and the type of pesticides.
Right.
So in multiple ways, it's better for the environment to use something that's designed to be hardier and more nutritious.
What a lot of people don't know is that the Dust Bowl was a disaster of our own making.
Absolutely. Because,
no rotation, right?
Because they weren't rotating crops. Yep. They were just they created that disaster. Even though there were scientists, because you know scientists sometimes know things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were scientists that were saying if you continue to do this, there's going to be a disaster coming. I mean, it's you know, sort of the whole global warming thing where everybody was like, well, yeah, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. But Tim, it's cold outside today.
And then, you know, and I'm sure it's frustrating to us as skeptics and people who believe that scientists ought to be paid attention to because they spend a lot of time researching things and often have an insight that might be valuable when you've got fucking idiots like Donald Trump or whatever talking about global warming or climate change, we're supposed to call it climate change, not being real because he doesn't want it to be real. And he doesn't give a fuck what scientists say.
Go ahead, please.
And you know, that's the same, and it's happened before, and that's kind of my point in relation to GMOs, is the Dust Bowl happened when a bunch of people were warned, you've got to stop this practice or we're going
to
have...
And they're like, but beans makes more money right now, so I'm not going to rotate to corn.
Where the subsidies are.
I was going to just bring up that I didn't want to imply that, you know, organic is all bunk.
Right.
There are things being done with organic that's like, we should be doing a lot of that, more of that stuff in our standard farming.
Good.
I mean, there are some great things that are being done in organic. I do feel like we have to meet in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just organic is not necessarily all great.
Yeah, organic is not the end all be all answer to everything.
It's not a panacea.
Right.
Yeah. It's not going to cure your cancer.
I feel like the biggest problem with our mega crops is that it's all monoculture out there. I mean, you drive across Kansas and it is all just a hundreds and hundreds of miles of the same damn crop.
No diversity.
That lack of diversity is a problem for the environment around you. That affects pollinators. That affects the type of animals that wander around. Mm-hmm. That's a bad idea. But somewhere in the middle is where organic and standard farming have to meet.
Do you think that companies are opposed to the GMO labeling regulation?
Ooh, I've got words about this.
Awesome.
Oh my God.
Fantastic.
Thank you for that question.
I've heard a lot of people talk about how it's kind of fucked up.
This shit is interesting. Okay. All right. Okay. So what is currently going on is that there are currently three states that require different labeling for GMOs. Like it's Vermont and Oregon. I can't remember.
California.
Yeah,
California.
Yeah, it
sounds right.
Yeah.
It's likely that it's California.
They're banned plastic bags. I mean,
The one that's furthest ahead is Vermont. You know, their thing is now in effect, but prior to all of those state-by-state regulations, the larger companies were fighting, you know, we don't want to label for GMOs because that's a logistical nightmare. So they were fighting it on a national level, but once these states instituted their own little labeling laws, now what the big companies are fighting for is a national GMO labeling law.
So that you guys have an easier time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... because labeling state by state is a nightmare, especially since they all have different regulations.
Well, yeah.
So we'd have to label either everything for the entire nation that would apply to all of these states and then change it whenever another state comes in, or specifically develop packaging that just goes to Vermont, just goes to Oregon.
Both of those are horrible.
Do that
it's ridiculous.
For Canada to the United States, they do like a universal label that works for both in a lot of instances.
And a lot of what we ship out goes to, distributorships. And, you know, of course, distributorships aren't going to be able to track what goes where. And then they get fined, and then we get fined if it goes wrong. The truck didn't go... It's bad.
We have that same thing with games and chokeable parts and CPSAI testing and all that,
Oh, yeah, totally. So what the bigger companies are now, I mean, General Mills definitely is doing this. I know Campbell's is. There are a few others. They are now pushing for national labeling laws because that would usurp the state labeling laws.
Sure.
And it would at least be one national standard that we could adhere to.
Yeah, a federal standard makes it easier, and then the FDA can not... The other problem I imagine is the FDA passing down fines when fines don't need to be there because they're over analyzing things, or they want to make sure, you know, they want... And I can't really imagine how expensive that would be to try to figure out.
Yeah. So there is a bill that's currently going through. It has passed the House. It's going to the Senate. That is that act that would usurp the statewide laws.
Interesting. Do people know that that bill came from lobbyists for big food corporations? Because I imagine a lot of people are thinking that...
Yeah, strike a blow against Goliath.
That their senator, their representative is like fighting big food for them. And it's like, actually, GM wants this. Like, I feel like, General Mills is looking for this. You know, like that, and Nabisco wants this. I can't imagine. Yeah. They'd be like, but they're the enemy.
But the enemy is doing what I want. Yeah. Yeah, doing what you want because they know they're going to have to do it anyway. Yeah. They want to make it easier for themselves.
Yeah.
Up until states.
And I think, if I remember it, the bill actually says it's voluntary to label for GMOs.
Oh.
So, which is an interesting thing. But, I mean, the FDA, I feel like the FDA is also like, this GMO thing is bullshit.
Yeah.
Good. Because it is. It's so...
Yeah. It's the new boogeyman. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. It's a privileged thing to give a shit about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Because...
Like organic produce.
Because the health concerns, and, you know, there was that one issue with the corn that was like 15 years ago and things like that, they are minuscule if even worth thinking about.
Well, yeah, and you know, consider this. I mean, when you do hybridization the standard way, just by taking one breed and another breed and mashing them together and see what you get out, you're taking every gene in each of those organisms, mashing them together, and, you know, just selecting good and bad.
Yeah.
Good and bad. You don't know what you're going to get out of it.
You might get Tyrannosaurus Rex corn.
Yeah, you never know.
That would be unquestionably cool,
but it would also be dangerous.
Whereas what genetic modification is doing is it is taking a single gene, which means that a gene is just one protein. This is one protein that is happening in this plant or this animal. This one protein, and you can just pinpoint and say, I want that protein over here in this tomato, and boom, there you are.
Tomaco.
Yeah. And the thing about...
Tomatosaurus Rex.
When you do that, genetically modified organisms go through rigorous testing to make sure that they are safe, and that is not necessarily the case with regular hybridization.
I kind of feel like, and we talked about like ties to, you know, spiritualism or religion for this. I think I kind of feel like some of this ties into the nexus of that spiritualism and white privilege. We'll just say like Whole Foods, where they make their money selling very expensive food that a lot of people can't afford.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a store for everyone, for every income level. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some exclusivity there.
Oh, yeah.
They're making huge profits selling naturalist cures, very expensive vitamin and nutrient supplements that aren't even vitamins necessarily, or aren't even, you know, it's homeopathic stuff there. Yeah. And I feel like that this GMO organic scare stuff is they're really financially benefiting from it. And I don't know if it's necessarily sinister.
I think it's like a religion. It's the Satan of their religion. Like, if you think of it, it's the threat of punishment. It's the threat of an unhealthy body. It's the threat of cancer taking hold because you didn't eat enough, you know, riboflavin in your organic spinach or whatever, and people are so panicked about dying. It's just preying on that.
Yeah, and a couple of observations. I know we got to go to five questions, but one thing that bugs me, and the same thing, they just came out with a study where they went out and looked at like supplements at Target, and at Walmart, and at GNC, and they found that like you could buy echinacea supplements that didn't even contain echinacea because the industry isn't policed at all. There are no regulations. There's no rule that says your echinacea supplement
must contain
echinacea. Yeah, it's not making a medical claim.
To be clear, it's specifically vitamin supplements are completely unregulated by the FDA.
They are completely unregulated, and so that feeds into this is all the same kind of privilege.
Yep.
The other thing is there are things that are good within this movement. One thing is like sustainable fish.
yep. you know, or which, farming
which
is in general.
Something like,
yep.
Yeah, which sustainable farming, sustainable yeah. fish supplies. Yep. It's like when you go into Whole Foods. So I there's all this part of Whole Foods that's bad, but at the same time, you know, the stuff they're pushing about, well, you know, if you're going to eat Chilean sea bass, you need to understand what that's doing
yeah. mm-hmm.
to the environment versus eating a different kind of fish.
I agree with that. It's a sustainable it's like chocolate fish. Or coffee so, or blood
that,
diamonds.
With that sustainability yeah. comes stuff like Melissa was talking about, like proper crop rotation, a mm-hmm. good mix of crops. Like you need to make sure you there's like some synergistic effects
yeah,
for
don't
having
plant salmon this year. Plant like, sea bass.
Right, there's like right combinations of
Tyrannosaurus sea bass
in a farm to you get like more optimal. Yeah. I don't know if it's the pollinators or the what, but
yeah.
you know there's
the gills.
There's the, it's the gills. The secret's in the gills.
Yeah. the tastiest part is the
it's
gills.
Fish tomatoes.
Fish tomato.
That was one of the.
Fish tomato.
I don't want no fish tomatoes. You're gonna put fish genes in my tomatoes, they're all gonna smell like fish.
So, I just want to say that I, for one, welcome our new genetically modified yeah. overlords, and yeah. I look forward to the day when I can eat corn that gives me glow-in-the-dark powers.
Whatever why?
Not that I eat corn, because it's literally the worst thing you can put in your body.
At one point, it was like, when am I going to get my food pill that I can just eat an entire meal in a pill? Mm-hmm. And it was like...
According to a certain song I heard, that's the year 2525,
yeah.
when you'll know that man is still alive.
But I'm just saying, like, at one point, the future was like, awesome, better living through science in my food.
Yeah.
Like, yay, this is going to wow. be so
then
cool.
Then we bombed Japan.
No, and then, you know what happened, Willy Wonka retired. And then...
yeah.
Honestly, I think a big part of it was the naturalist movement of the 70s.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And
was.
That's when science and the idea of living in space and all that became hippies is what ruined
scary
it.
Scary shit like
everything.
DDT.
Yep. And then all the cocaine in the 80s that made everyone make poor decisions.
And chase that dollar.
Titles yeah. for our episodes. Hippies ruin everything.
Hippies ruin everything. All right, Melissa.
Yes.
We have a new 5 questions.
Oh, my God.
And I know that you have been on our show and answered the previous, and you've also asked us 5 questions.
Yes.
Asked us yes. 5 questions.
What the hell is yeah. that accent?
I don't know. It happens. It happens sometimes.
Weird.
So you ready for our new 5 questions?
I am. I'm so ready.
All right, Tim, you want to start? Question 1?
I would love to. Question number 1, what is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
The Road Warrior.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah, fucking Road Warrior, yeah.
Is there anything specific about it that just...
Oh, it's edited so well.
Mm-hmm.
It is a story that is told so completely and so engagingly that no matter where it is, I'll just be riveted to
yeah.
the screen.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that movie so much.
It's so good.
It's a good movie.
I watch it like twice a year. It's great.
Yeah.
Is that, what's your order for Mad Max movies? What's your like order
out
of preference?
Three.
Out of the
four.
Four.
Well,
four.
Okay.
Four. Four. There are four. I'm okay on the first Mad Max. It's
yeah.
okay. It's definitely
different than the other
it's a,
three.
Yeah, it's very different. It's very groundbreaking.
It's Evil Dead versus Evil Dead 2.
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
of. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Mad
or
Max.
Hell, Alien versus Aliens.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mad Max 2 is just polished and
that's Road Warrior. Yeah,
just a you know magnificent piece of storytelling. Mad Max 3 is two different movies mashed together into one, and
with some hot Tina Turner action
yeah,
in there.
Tina Turner part is pretty awesome, and then it goes into the weird Lord of the Flies sort
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah,
the plain children cult.
And
yeah,
it's a very distracted movie because what happened was George Miller was scouting for locations for that movie with his longtime friend who was. Oh, the cinematographer of the previous films?
Okay.
Oh, God, I can't... Or an assistant director. I can't remember. It was a longtime friend of George Miller. And then, like, plane crash happened, the guy died, and Miller was, like, barely present as a human being
oh, wow.
during the creation of that movie.
Jesus.
So it's kind of...
Yeah.
It's kind of a mess.
And obviously, I'm assuming you love Fury Road.
I love Fury Road.
How did you
so
not love
hard.
Fury Road?
If you didn't love Fury Road, we'd just stop with the questions and get you off.
Yeah.
Question number 2. What is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I have a 3-foot-tall cast metal robot from Metropolis.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
That's
it's
amazing.
From the actual...
Awesome. Not the real thing. No,
a replica.
It's a replica.
Yeah, no, that's
it's
still fantastic.
That's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I've seen that
mm-hmm.
in your house, And I've always assumed that it was made of plastic.
Oh, no. It's metal.
Is
that's
it hollow?
Amazing.
It looks it looks really good, but I've always been like, something that big, I figured it was just like a plastic. No.
Oh, no. God. I could if somebody was breaking into my house.
Even more now.
You can kill them.
Yeah. I'd hold that thing like a baseball bat and be clang, and then they'd be
dead. Area man killed by Metropolis robots. What half gone wrong?
No, the news headline would be, old-timey robot kills burglar in break-in. Like,
what hath God wrought? Iron.
Terrible.
Question number three.
Okay.
What mythical, supernatural, religious, or otherwise all-powerful being do you wish were real?
I'd say Godzilla, but I feel like that'd be a bad idea. So rather than all-powerful, I'm just going to go, I would just like familiars. I'd like a talking dog. I want a talking dog.
Yeah.
Like or cat, the like historic demons from materials. Golden
Compass. Yeah.
That
sounds great.
That would be that
animal
would
companions
be...
for everyone.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. They should talk and
be clever and be, you know.
You can feel what they feel and vice versa, maybe a little like the synthetic
They can spy
link.
For you. Yeah. And steal diamonds.
What would yours be?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd have a dog.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a dog. A mutt of some sort, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd say mine should be a goat, but goats don't have, like, the best, like, ability to do stuff with their hands and paws, like their little hoops.
But you'd never need a trash can?
I know. I'm tempted to say either a raccoon or a cat.
Oh,
but
raccoons have
a raccoon
little
with little hands?
Hands,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
raccoon
they're devious.
Would be good.
And they eat a lot.
An otter.
An otter.
Oh, great.
Or just Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, he could be my favorite.
I feel like birds are a good choice because just, you know, flying.
But they're birds. You hate birds.
I do hate birds.
Yeah, but if it was a familiar, that would be different.
If it was speaking English to me and not, like, chirping loudly in my window
like
about how it wants sex, I'd be fine.
Okay, question number four.
Okay.
Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that would face humanity?
Oh, it'd be global climate change. I mean, I know, you know, religious beliefs feed into it a bit, but I mean, we're greedy fuckers. I mean, you know, even atheists are like, I don't want to give up my easy living and heated house and TV and Netflix and, you know.
Yeah.
You can't go backwards on any of that stuff. It's so hard to...
Yeah, I don't want to give up those things.
Yeah,
it's
hard to give up in order to help, you know.
In order to help something that isn't going to affect your life. That's the other hard part.
It's so intangible.
Especially if you're not having kids, it's hard because you're like, well, I'm not having kids, so I've got maybe 50 years left on the planet. I mean, is it going to die in 50 years? It's not. Fuck it. I'm going to have more Netflix. Turn on the AC.
Someone else's problem.
Yeah.
Fuck the electric cars.
They're making those fuckable electric cars. Just wait.
Well,
someday.
Hanging out with my Lucy Luba.
Knowing how humans work, they make everything fuckable.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
It's been my experience.
Question number five is, what is your favorite quote?
Oh, yes. I had this pulled up, and then Facebook screwed me over. Give me a second.
Stupid Facebook.
Absolutely.
That's my favorite quote.
We talk more about
Facebook.
Fuckable cars.
Yeah, that's the other thing you have to give up for global climate change, everybody. Give up Facebook.
Yeah. You guys should all go
to... How about we just give up MySpace?
Okay, so go to Reddit.com. Go to Reddit.com/r/dragons. Fucking cars. Just go there. Just go there.
It's
amazing. Just do it.
It's usually the muffler. If you're wondering, it's usually
it is,
the muffler.
Yeah.
All right, I've got it pulled up.
Okay, great.
Okay.
The car suddenly veered off the road, and we came to a sliding halt in the gravel. I was hurled against the dashboard. My attorney was slumped over the wheel.
Huh.
What's wrong? I yelled. We can't stop here. This is bat country.
Fantastic.
It's similar in that same scene. One of my favorite quotes is when all the coke flies away, and he goes, look what God did to us, man.
That wasn't God. You're a DEA agent.
I just love that. Like, open top convertible, salt shaker of cocaine, unscrew the top, pour some out, and it all flies away. Oh, man. Like, that's such a, like...
bastard.
What's the source for our listeners?
It is Hunter S. Thompson from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And I've used that as a mantra for the last several years.
We can't stop here.
We can't stop here.
Yep. Keep going. It's a very subversive version of if you're going through hell, keep going.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can't stop here. This is bad country.
The only way out is through.
My mom took me to see that movie at the Uptown Theater for a midnight showing when I was like 12, I think. And it was like me and my... Maybe I was a little older than that. My brother was like 8, so I must have been like 14 or 15 when it came out. And one or two of her friends met us at the theater, and I was just old enough to realize that my mom's friends were super hot. Yeah, so that'll always stick with me.
I'm very glad that we had this conversation. Yeah. All of its bits and purposes, all of the car fucking and Hunter S. Thompson and GMO corn.
Yay! T-Rex tomatoes.
Thank you for being on the podcast again, Melissa.
Thank you.
If you guys have thoughts about GMO crops, either way, even you know, especially if you disagree with us, we want to hear it. You're probably wrong. We still want to hear it. You can comment on our Facebook page.
We won't shut you down. We'll just comment. Yeah. And rationally explain why you're wrong.
Just remember, ideas are not above criticism, and you shouldn't be personally attached to them. post on our Facebook page or on the website. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. All those good things. We are really grateful to all of you. It's been a lot of fun. We're going into this is our fourth year that we're doing this. We're almost to our four-year anniversary.
We're closing in on episode 200.
That's crazy. So if you guys have been with us, whether from the beginning or you just picked us up, we really appreciate each and every one of you. So write in your answers to our five questions at fivequestions@geeksthoutgod.com, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
And we'll pray for you.
Oh, come on. We will cunt them. See you next Tuesday, Tim. It's been a joke this whole time.
Yeah. What?
I know.
I don't get right? it. What does it mean?
It's like a knighting, only Tim, you don't do it with a sword.
Tim doesn't get a cunting.
Yeah. Well, I've been married for 25 years.
Ooh.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm not leaving that on there.
No! Godzilla!
Melissa, why?
Godzilla, help!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter @GeeksWithoutGod. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Oh, I almost forgot to do this. The opinions I've expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone. I am not speaking on behalf of my employer or any of the brands I work with. Please don't fire me.
You guys know BizQuick? It burns super well.